Your brother's not a macho, that's what I heard.
Be a man, Hogan!
Only if you was a chump.
Welcome to Nerds on the Rocks, episode number 96. I am your host for today, Ashley, because someone has decided it's a good idea to let me talk more. I don't know why. Today we are going to be talking about comic book deaths, both in the people who die in comic books and also the quote-unquote comic book death trope, where they're dead. Oh no, wait, see what actually happened was dot, dot, dot. So we're just going to dive in head first and really hope that Spider-Man doesn't try to save us and accidentally kill us. today, our dead people are Earl.
I was actually brought back to life in Superboy Prime Punch Reality, so I'm good to go.
I'm going to retcon that into a Lazarus pit. That's okay.
That works too. That works as well.
We have Wesley.
As the Joker says, vote for me or I'll kill you.
And we have some other guy.
Some other guy.
Nicholas Reed.
Hey, I actually didn't die. I was just sent back in time to caveman era where I could be bad.
Oh, God.
Awesome.
You win.
I mean, technically, he didn't
die. It'd be a mega sanction, bitch.
Because it works like magic.
One time it actually works.
Did I just preview, like, two different podcasts that we're going to be doing in the future?
Yes, you did.
Yes.
Who's the man? No. That's right, it's me.
Okay. I think the best way to kick this off is, you know, death within comics. Sometimes it has been a big thing. So, you know, death that you think has had the most impact on comics in general, the big one that you think is like the death that mattered.
I feel like it was probably like the 80s and probably stuff like Crisis on Infinite Earth, because that was permanent for them. Like, Barry Allen died and he stayed dead for like 20 some odd years and stuff like that. Or I would imagine either that or Jason Todd, since that's the one that was actually voted on by fans. And it just, you know, it gave fans powers, but it also shows how much they can really dislike a character.
Have you seen
really
the Drunk History
like
of the Robins?
What happened?
Drunk History of the Robins. There's a section where they're talking about the call-in vote, and they're like, kill that bitch! Kill that bitch!
And I'm sure DC made a nice chunk of money off of it, because I think it was a 900 number.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
we can ask if yes, he was around there on those days. I guess Wesley would have been too.
Actually, how old was I when Death in the Family happened? Shit.
What was it, 87?
87, I was 6 years old. God, no, I did not have, I had no access to phone then, but I probably would have hated Jason Todd too if I was reading Batman comics at the time.
I would have thought he was cool. he had an attitude. I mean, he's cool. I wouldn't have thought that at all.
Yeah, trust me. I think even Alan Moore set the ultimate standard for Jason Todd characterization of, yeah, really don't like this guy.
I think he's been enjoyable since his resurrection, or whatever you want to call it. Because, I mean, they've retconned that to the fact that he's never been dead. No, he died, and Raj Al Ghul put him in the Lazarus pit.
And then he went crazy.
Yeah.
And then he ended up training him, and it's very convoluted. I think it's just easier to watch Under the Red Hood. It does a much better job of just simplifying that entire story.
My only problem with that is I hated, what was it, Jensen Ackles?
Mm-hmm.
I hated him as the voice actor for Red Hood.
I didn't mind him.
Yeah, I didn't mind
him. He bugged the shit out of me.
It's odd. I mean, they tend to do this with Robin in general. It's just odd that there can never be more than two Robins. Like, the old cartoon, it was Dick and Tim.
Mm-hmm.
That Under the Red Hood is Dick and Jason. Young Justice is Dick and Tim. They can never do more than two in any other universe but comic
books. There's a two Robin limit.
It does get confusing. I have people. People always ask how many Robins there've been. I think there's officially there's been 5, 6 if you count Carrie. So yeah, there's a lot of like.
Well, wait, what continuity are we going by? Because in some pre-Crisis, technically Bruce Wayne was Robin at one point.
And I think in the New 52, Huntress was Robin at one point.
Yes, and Earth 2.
Yeah. Okay, so, you know, this is why it gets confusing for people.
This is why people were kind of getting a kick out of the rumors of the Robin Army book that was coming out. And it's like a giant, and this was actually like a rumor out there. And I would have loved to have seen it of just a giant army of Robins. I'm like, come on. Tell me you would not have wanted to see that.
That would have been awesome. I think the Robin family tends to have awesome dynamic between them. I like Tim and Dick's dynamic. Dick and Damian's stuff during the Battle for the... Oh, it's not Battle for the Resurrection of... Whenever Dick was Batman that year, their dynamic was great. I like Dick and Damian and Tim because they kind of... They're excipients who are fighting over the affection of their dad.
Yeah.
Except one of them tried to kill the other.
Well, yeah.
Pretty blatant.
I said fighting.
Yeah, that was like his first, he met Tim, and then like a day later, like, no, I didn't, totally tried to kill him. That's how it works.
Well, yeah, he's taken it. I mean, his father adopted him and didn't even care about Damian, although she is. I can understand his, you know, and he was trained to be an assassin. That's kind of his whole thing, is like him fighting the urges that his mother instilled in him while using his father's values. Even though everybody's going kill crazy and called it a Night of the Owls because they're half dead.
Yeah.
But I think you all missed a very important, like, big death in comics.
Jean Grey.
No, fuck that.
No.
Uncle Ben,
we'll get to that later.
Uncle Ben.
Who really? They can never bring him back. That would ruin Spider-Man. That ruined Spider-Man almost as much as saying, oh, maybe it was destiny that he became Spider-Man because his father messed with his genetic... Oh.
Yeah, but, dude, waiting for when they revive Uncle Ben. I know it's going to happen one day. It will. I don't know when.
I really doubt it.
But it will happen.
Like, it's not like Bucky, where Bucky was, like, a superhero-type character anyway, and that was always like, Bucky's never going to come back until Brubaker came along and made him awesome.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so, they would ever... I can't even begin to think of a way they could justify that character coming back in any way other than magic.
Which happened.
Which happened.
House of M.
Yeah.
Uncle Ben and Gwen Stacy, who is one of my votes for, like, the big death. Both came back in House of M.
I was going to ask Nick if he would include like Martha and Thomas Wayne in that as well.
Yeah.
I'm excluding like alternate universe thing because we already had Thomas Wayne back not too long ago.
Did we?
Yeah, in Flashpoint.
Thomas and Martha.
Yeah.
Oh.
No, I don't think Martha. Those are the two like examples. No, you can't bring them back. They would. Not ruin, like, the character would still exist, but it would, like, kind of take away a lot of the motivation, and what would be the point?
I mean, would Batman exist if his parents were still alive?
Never died, yes.
Okay,
Died, no, he would not exist.
No.
If they brought him back, he would still exist, but it would be one of those things, like, why would you even do that? What's the point?
Yeah.
But it's just sort of weird when... Like, it was funny when Bucky got revived, and I remember the brouhaha over that. I was like, oh my god, they brought Bucky back. What the... And then it's like, wow, they actually made him badass. Holy shit, yeah. Brubaker made him badass.
It happened around the same time that Jason Todd came back. And they tried to make him badass, and instead made him an asshole.
Jason Todd's a... I swear, And by the way... Screw it. I understand why people like Jason Todd, but at the same time, I don't entirely get it, because I see Jason Todd and I go, eh. Like, I can't stand Red Hood and the Outlaws, but...
I've heard good things about it.
I hate that book.
I dropped it after the first issue because it seemed like it was just going to be a giant orgy. and I painted a new 52 with DC's Spawn 9, so I kind of dropped the books where everybody kind of hooked up in the first issue. I think the problem with Jason Todd's character is that I think it could be an interesting character if he wasn't motivated by such a childhood desire to be up.
Yeah.
Like, he's just kind of like an angry teen rebelling against his dad, and it's a trait that most people grow out of, and he should have by this point.
It's like when punk bands never stop singing songs about, you know, my parents grounded me and I can't go out.
Yeah.
You relate to it when you're 16, 17, mm-hmm. you turn 25, 30, it's like,
you gotta
get a job, dude.
You gotta get out of that and start writing songs about either girls or time machines.
Yeah.
Okay. We've already touched, obviously, on the resurrection factor. And so, before we get into, like, the bad of resurrection, because that's a whole mess in and of itself, have there ever been resurrections that you agreed with, characters you were glad they brought back?
I've never agreed with them bringing back a character because they usually died for a reason, and it seems like they're usually brought back not for a storyline purpose, but more for monetary reasons.
The only one I can think of off the top of my head is Colossus.
Mm.
Because the reason he died in a stupid bullshit stunt anyway.
Mm.
Like, it was like, you gotta kill someone. I'm fucking Colossus, whatever.
Oh, you know, destruction.
And the way Whedon brought him back. And the Astonishing really worked really well.
Yeah, but then he totally pulled a Whedon.
Yep.
With Colossus and Kitty.
Yeah.
Well, you know what's left in Colossus now? Now Colossus is a juggernaut, bitch. So.
Yes, that happens in Avengers vs. X-Men. If you drink, you might miss that character's appearance in that book for that half a panel to show up.
Now Colossus is the juggernaut, but that's entirely another story, but yeah, he's juggernaut now.
This is slightly different, I think, because it plays into the character and why he's the way he is, but Cyborg Superman
wants to die.
But he can't, and he keeps on being brought back, and this is what drives him to be angry and evil all the time. Because he just wants to find... Because, you know, he has nothing to live for, and he's tried to kill himself. He's tried to die. He's tried to have people kill him. And he just keeps on coming right back.
I wish they'd bring... I honestly wish they'd bring back Nightcrawler, and not in the little BAMP creatures they put in Wolverine and the X-Men, but actually bring back Nightcrawler. I miss him. He was cool. But instead he gets killed in the... Throwaway Death and Messiah Complex. But...
I thought he died in Second Coming.
Sorry. I knew it was in that stupid crossover.
That period of time, fake 10 years of the
That weird Messiah thing. Complex second... I knew it was in that period. I really did not like that whole way they set that whole thing up. I heard about, like, how'd they kill Nightcrawler? What? Alright.
Suddenly we have a magic mutant who can open up other mutants' powers, and isn't she awesome, and hey, let's put the phoenix in her.
Hey.
Mm.
Okay. Yes, and then you can have a whole tie-in serious about it.
And Scott Summers is a tool.
Which,
yes.
I was going to say so is Captain America.
Yes.
At this point, I don't know whose side I'm supposed to be on.
They have an entire series dedicated to fights.
Oh, so that's where the fights take place? I've been wondering that.
They're fights.
Because what you get in this comic is, like, you see a panel, like, you have some narrator. I see a husband and a wife fighting, and you'll see Storm and Black Panther. And that's it for them in the issue. You never see them again. I'm like, oh, okay. Avengers versus X-Men, but just not going to show you the versus part.
It's
Avengers versus X-Men, Storm, Black Panther, Divorce Court.
yes, that's about right.
Ooh. Get Matt Murdock and She-Hulk as the lawyers.
Oh my god.
Please let that happen. I would be so happy. I would make the hell out of that. Just have Dan Slott write it. Just let Dan
Slott.
That would be about comedy gold. 6-issue series. Go.
Oh
Marky can't stay here in the fourth quarter.
You notice that thing is now somebody on Marvel is going to come with
yes, I'm waiting for
Tony it. Needs
it's coming on.
We get a finder's fee on that one. I want to make that clear. Oh my god, and they, you know, like, as part of the viral marketing at Comic-Con, they would totally be handing out, like, business cards for Matt Murdock and She-Hulk.
Yeah. Oh. You know, it's genius. They could turn it into a TV series
yeah,
as well.
Exactly. I would, come on.
You're on Auto Marvel
That'd
Universe.
That's awesome.
That's going to be one of the upcoming Marvel movie projects before the new Avengers movie.
Daredevil, Light of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Universe's favorite superhero edition.
That would be funny. God. Yes, we derailed the episode. We don't care. It's
still on comic books that he's speaking. Has Daredevil died? Yes.
No, Daredevil hasn't died. Everybody Daredevil has ever loved has died.
Yes.
No! No, Daredevil has died.
For a bit.
I don't remember that.
It was in the mid-90s at some point?
No, it was just this year Daredevil died.
Is
he back?
Yeah, he came back to
in the Shadowlands. Thank you. Shadowlands. He did die during Shadowlands, didn't he?
It says Daredevil Reborn. I'm going off the Wikipedia list of dead and resurrected superheroes, which if anyone is listening, you know, people listening to this, check it out, because the lists of cause of death and cause of resurrection are fucking hilarious.
And we'll get to some better ones.
Yes, but Daredevil Reborn number 3, March 2011, last year. Matt Murdock was shot in the head by armed leader. In May, he was revealed to have survived his protected hands from gunshot. What?
God, no one paid attention to that series, did they? Because that shows how much I did not even touch that series, because I... Fuck. Wow, I did not even read that. Oh, wow.
So
Daredevil did die. Just in a series no one gave a shit about.
Okay, who hasn't
who
died?
Who hasn't died in a sub-series?
It's probably a
list of series that people have died multiple times and no one's given a shit about the series.
Batman hasn't died.
No one cares.
I mean, he
hasn't died.
Because R.I.P. was technically didn't stand for rest in peace.
Yeah.
Nope.
No. And Final Crisis, he was just sent back to the past. But he was presumed dead. I'm trying to think of who else has. I'm sure most people haven't. I don't think Spider-Man. Well, Spider-Man did die.
Yeah.
Superman died, but then came back. And by the way, anyone who ever says the words to me, I have a black bag, Superman, and you are prone to me just being going, please, just take that back now. Don't say the words. How much is it worth? Because I will start laughing.
I was going to say, it was actually something we didn't talk about. Superman's death is the one that kind of sent this whole ball out of control.
News report.
Yeah.
Everyone thought Superman was going to stay dead. No, he wasn't. No, he's not going to stay dead. Sorry. Reign of Superman. They reported. It's like they're now reviewing 4 different Supermen. They're not going to last long. It's part of an event.
Yeah, and that was kind of the thing where everybody's like, oh, death can work. We can get... Marvel's pretty guilty of this recently, I think. Like, everything they do seems to be marketed towards, like, oh, we'll get mainstream coverage here. The Human Torch is dying. It's on the cover. It's on the New York... And now I assume people don't even write articles about it because it happens. It's like, oh, okay, Human Torch...
Death of Captain America. That was the most notorious one because I had people who were like, did you hear Captain America died? Uh-huh. He'll be back in about a year. What? He's like...
My favorite was recently Kal Rayner
died
in an issue.
That was like what an issue.
And he was
yes.
He was resurrected at the start of the next issue. I'm like,
he's back again.
But you got Guy Gardner on a Red Lantern rampage in exchange for that.
Yeah. Speaking of people I want to die, the Guardians really need to
put
it someday.
Guy Gardner. Be like, what?
No. I was thinking about that because the Guardians are trying to kill Guy Gardner now. Spoilers if you haven't read Green Lantern Corps recently. And I guess another one, and this is kind of this is more of the TV shows, but when Dan Turpin died in Superman the Animated Series, just because Darkseid wanted to be a dick, and he just shot him with his laser beams and disintegrated him, just to piss off Superman. Now that's a badass.
Boy, did it work though, because that gave us one of the really badass Darkseid Superman fights.
No, most of them are in the
They're all awesome,
series,
but that
awesome.
Was one of the... Oh, shit.
Dark has an awesome line, I think, during the first time that I see confronted. He's like, if the death of one pained you so much, I would have killed many more, or something like that. But yeah. Back to comics.
Well, it's still really the comics, so either way, you're good.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think. It's so hard to think of people who haven't died. I mean, major characters. I assume minor ones don't worry. If they die, they die for good. Villains tend to die.
Yeah, it's like villains tend to die. I mean, if we're going to say they had a story in Marvel at one point, and when they had the Scourge killing random supervillains across the country, leading to one final confrontation, so... Like, over, like, a span of, like, a few months, he just kept killing random villains across the country until he had a confrontation. I think it was his confrontation was Captain America, wasn't it? The Scourge, when he, and back in, like, the 80s, when he had that whole thing.
That was something I mean, I understand why, because he is a, it is odd, though, that Cap has no issues killing.
Bare blood.
I found.
Great.
Yeah, I was watching the Avengers. I was just thinking, he's a gun. He doesn't kill. He's just killing people.
Captain America shouldn't have a problem killing people. He's a soldier.
Yeah, that's what he said. He's a soldier. I'm just so used to the heroes having that, I won't cross that line issue.
Oh, you got Batman who refuses to even use a gun unless he has to take out the all-knowing god of evil.
Well, yes. And
not only if it involves time bullets.
One of my favorite Batman deaths like that was actually in the Batman Beyond movie they did, Return of the Joker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where the way they brought back the Joker was so great, and the way it was like he had to stop being Batman because he accidentally killed the Joker. I love that. That was really a series I wish had gotten to go on longer on TV.
I agree and disagree, because then we wouldn't have gotten Justice League, and I hope that
true.
But yeah, they actually do some pretty morbid deaths in that, especially in the uncut, unedited.
Yeah.
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 I was gonna ask, who do you think has the biggest body count in comics?
In terms of
Punisher. Yeah.
Punisher.
Or the Joker. Punisher or the Joker?
Punisher, Joker.
I was going to say Scarlet Witch, because she killed, half the mutant
population. No, they didn't.
She has lost her power.
Oh, she just depowered them.
She said no more mutants then.
Either the Punisher or the Joker. Like, the Punisher kills, 30 people in, 2 pages of his books.
Well, there is a legendary alternate universe Punisher kills the Marvel Universe, so there's that.
He just killed the superheroes in that.
But it's an entertaining damn one shot.
Thanos, maybe? Thanos? They killed literally half the universe.
Thanos, yes.
Hey, stop fucking through the chair, you jerk ass.
What?
Sorry, I'm yelling at Drogo.
Okay.
Drogo's a
But you're
dick.
Right about Thanos. Thanos did pretty much. Because I actually just read the Spider-Man and the Infinity Gauntlet story they did that Brian Clevenger wrote. And that thing is a riot in how they handle Thanos. And it's comical how they say, the universe disappeared because Thanos had them all go away. And then proceed to have the team go after Thanos with the help of U.S. Ace's truck.
Who?
I'm dead serious.
Like you do.
Yeah. It was comical as hell. It's like, how can we make this appropriate for kids? We'll have Thanos have him disappear instead of killing half the humanity. Ooh, shit.
I always feel like Joker's kind of DC. It's like, we need to kill somebody off in the Batman universe and get him out.
Joker has had some of the best... Always remember, my favorite Joker kill was how he handled Alexander Luthor in Infinite Crisis. Just, boom. Screw you. I'm going to kill you because you didn't let me play.
Well, it was funny because people have been saying the whole series, like, why hasn't Joker appeared yet? I don't get where's the Joker? It's like, well, there you go. That's why, dumbasses.
They couldn't control
even
him
for a moment.
Alexander Luthor.
Probably the last Geoff Johns thing series or miniseries that I like unequivocally liked.
I enjoy Joker as a wild card. That was even they said something like that in Justice League, where they didn't want him on the team because of their interactions in World's Finest. And it's also one of the reasons I've enjoyed Scott Snyder's work, is he's kind of avoided bringing out these old school villains. I enjoy seeing them, but it's nice to have something fresh and unique with the Batverse, where it's not just Joker doing all of this nonsense. Even though I think right now he's defaced. Or has that been
I don't fucking know.
I don't know. I haven't been keeping up with Detective. I've been only keeping up with Scott Snyder's Batman, so.
Yeah.
I mean, it's also funny when you get into, like, a lot of these random deaths that have, I mean, I know we're avoiding it, but, like, so it's, like, it's funny how right now in Marvel they're edging towards the, we're probably going to bring Jean Grey back, but we just don't want to say it outright.
Nope.
Stayed dead way longer than I expected her to.
She'll be back.
Nope.
Are you sure?
Wouldn't shock me.
It wouldn't shock me either, but I think it would be kind of cool if they didn't bring her back.
Yeah,
like, one of the two things from Grant Morrison's run that have actually stuck.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That and when Cyclops and White Queen were nailing each other.
Yeah.
Yes. Which will inevitably end when they bring Jean Grey back.
Yeah, and I'm right now in the midst of going through Grant Morrison's X-Men run.
Oh, good.
And it's been, and that's because that's what my thing's going to be is Grant Morrison's X-Men run. And it's going, and what's interesting about it is, yeah, it's like, yeah, it's, I would say, like, that period of X-Men was probably, definitely one of the things where Jean Grey's death, like, yeah, he actually made it matter. And he did stuff with Jean Grey that really hadn't been done in a while, not probably since Claremont's run. So it's kind of like, yeah, Jean Grey was pretty, and then Jean Grey's death, and it's, stuck. I'm amazed it stuck. I'm still shocked it managed to stick to this day. And I won't be surprised at the end of Avengers X-Men that Jean Grey's back and be like, oh.
And see, it's interesting because going into Whedon's first issue of Astonishing, or his first storyline, where they revived Colossus, and like the implication at the beginning was they were going to revive Jean. Like, and this was right after Morrison had left the book, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, thank you, Joss Whedon, for leaving her dead.
Yeah.
Because I remember Colossus, that I remember they did tell him, like, bring back Colossus. Like, okay. And I think that's like his only edict was bring back Colossus. Do whatever however you want to do it. Just bring back Colossus. Mm-hmm. Okay. And it worked. I mean, it was just like, oh. Like, it's always funny how they worked that. It's like, da-da-da. Mm-hmm. Oh. Hi. Here's Kitty seeing Colossus for the first time in ages. Like, oh, hi.
I'm going to tell you, it was a pretty big shock when I was reading it the first time.
Yeah, it's like, oh, wow. It is one of those, holy shit, I can't believe I'm seeing this, but it's like, wow. It's like, it's a shock and also very understated at the same time of, wow.
Well, it was great just because of how they actually punked the audience.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When they put out that preview image of the Phoenix and everything, so everybody expected it to be that. It was, like, the first indication of Marvel actually messing with people on the internet to see, like, oh, let's see what we can make them believe.
Well, and I love...
And I loved how Colossus's resurrection played into the rest of Whedon's run, where it's like, by the way, the one mutant you brought back to experiment on is the one who could destroy your entire planet.
Mm-hmm.
Good going.
Nice job there. Break world.
Okay, Doctor Who's front of parody.
Yeah. Told you. Walking through the tears.
I think you were actually watching
while
we were recording.
Speaking of resurrection.
Okay.
Yeah. Doctor Who.
He doesn't he doesn't have a resurrection. He's regenerations. They're very different.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Though he did fake his own death, so I guess
yeah.
That semi-counts. I was going to say, and this is probably... What is it, the ultimatum wave, or whatever that was, that white... I take it what, she's a huge fan of this story?
Damn comic. This is not Immortal's Lever. That's the only thing I can come up with for ultimatum is fuck that comic.
You can go talk about it. I'm just going to be cringing in the corner, just...
I don't know. I mean, it wiped out like half of the Ultimate Universe, right?
Yeah, it's like the most... Ah!
It was like the Ultimate Universe got out of control and the stories were just... They're like, you know, we'll just cut off half the people so we don't have to write stories about them in one fell swoop. And the sad thing is, I was reading it in Spider-Man... Ultimate Spider-Man, because it's really the only Ultimate thing I touch, and like, it's only like a side story to the whole thing, so it's like, all this stuff has happened, and Spider-Man's like, assumed dead, and then it skips ahead like 6 months.
Yeah, and the it's weird right now, the Ultimate Universe is in this state of mind of, it's still going, but it still doesn't entirely matter at this point, so it's in this state of limbo of, yeah, it's still here, but no one's really paying attention to it.
Ultimate Universe? Yeah, I assume because it's kind of lost its original purpose some time ago, where it's no longer an introductory course to Marvel Universe. It's just as complicated and complex as the actual universe. So you might as well read that. I mean, you have deaths, you have resurrections, you have alternate origins, you have, you know, like we've thrown our second Spider-Man, but part of it, Gwen Stacy was Carnage. Stuff like that, so it doesn't make it easier to understand, it just makes it really, like, you have to know two different histories.
And it's weird about that, because it should have been, like, they had a pretty good start with, like, making an introductory course, and then it became just as nuts, or it's there, it exists.
Well, the whole thing was for it to not have continuity, and then they just ended up having their own continuity instead.
Because it did so well, they're like, oh, we'll just add this book, and we'll add this book, and we'll have
well,
them
the thing is, that's
we'll
what's going to happen. The longer a series runs, the more continuity you're going to have.
Yeah.
Unless you just reboot it every 2 years or so.
I think it would be better if they did something like Marvel did with Season 1, or DC does with the All-Star 9. Well, the idea behind the All-Star 9 is you have one complete story, and you just kind of move on. Because All-Star Superman isn't related to All-Star Batman, as far as I know.
Yeah.
So, it is tied into Morrison's, like, Uber run, technically.
But, yeah, it's not like you have to reboot them.
And
it works.
Yeah.
It gives people that. And I think, because it's always easier to recommend people, like, graphic novels and trades than it is to say, like, you should start reading this series and stuff. Because it's one complete story. You know, yes, it's Marvel, and then it's like 50 complete stories you have to read to get the entire picture.
It's like you can't I can't, in good faith, recommend Blackest Night to anyone, speaking of death, because it doesn't end. It just stops.
And it keeps going.
You have to read Blackest Night. You also have to read Brightest Day. But you also have to read all this other stuff that happened for like a Sinestro Corps War, and then, et cetera, et cetera.
And you got to keep reading.
If you tell somebody, read Batman Year One, beginning, somewhat of an end, that's it. You can tell them to read The Long Halloween, same business. Tell them to read Sinestro Corps War, then you have to read Green Lantern Rebirth, then you have to read Water, what is it, Water Corps.
But see, technically, that can work. With Morrison's Batman run, where it's pretty self-contained, and you could just be like, here, read all of these, and it'll tell the whole story. It's a long story, but it's a beginning and an end.
Yeah, and that's I enjoyed how he did his, where it's kind of, he had the season stuff, where it's like, I'll tell this story. It's part of a larger, it's part of a larger story, but it's still, it's kind of like a TV show. You have, if a TV shows well, it can do an overarching story throughout its seasons, but have like a consistent and good quality per each season. I think Scott Snyder's doing a terrific job with that as well, because his stuff from the Detective Comic run last year and even the Batman stuff this year is one continuous story, but you can break it up into the various different things and they'll get a great story depending on any.
And that's what I like about Snyder's run on, like, pretty much, if you just want to follow Snyder's run on Batman, you can follow just that and you'll be fine. Even with the quarter outs going on right now, you can just read Batman.
Yeah.
And you will be fine.
I thought that was awesome because if you read the other ones, you get more of the story, but it's not like you lose out not reading them. It's just that, like, oh, this is what, like, Nightwing, this is what happened with Nightwing, but you don't need to know what happened with Nightwing to know what's happening in the main story. And I've, you know, that's a good comic book tie-in instead of, like you folks are saying with Avengers versus X-Men, is I have to actually read the other books to figure out what's going on in these mini battles that's supposed to be the center
and
of the story.
That
I guess
part of my problem with Blackest Night. It's like, you want me to buy an 8-part miniseries plus every single one of your tie-ins to find out what's going on. Like, the whole thing we were talking about, Kyle Rayner's death, didn't even happen in the main book.
Nope.
And the only time I bought the tie-ins was the month where they offered lantern rings with different tie-ins.
Yeah. I think I mentioned before that with Blackest Night is you had to, not even just to get the side stories, just to get the actual story, you had to get Green Lantern.
They
literally say in Blackest Night, hey, you got to go do this other stuff, and he doesn't show up to the end because it's all in the actual Green Lantern book.
He had Green Lantern, Green Lantern 4, the full Blackest Night experience.
And that was another comic that played around with death. They literally killed off characters to bring them back in that series.
Which, you know, there was one really awesome visual in that, and it was when they took the living superheroes and turned them into Black Lanterns, and like that spread, like Superman and Wonder Woman. I remember seeing that and being like, oh shit, now shit is going to go down.
And
shit never went down.
Yeah, shit didn't go down at all. Wonder Woman was saved by Batman's love.
Yeah.
I think that's what happened,
just,
right? I didn't read that one.
That's
I just heard the hearing about it.
Basically,
basically,
she was, Aphrodite put her into an illusion where her powers of love could break her free from the ring's control, and the image that did it to her was her making out with Batman.
Yeah, like you would. I mean, I think that would save anyone, really.
I was going to say the same thing.
They should have just had a whole series of images of the different, like, Black Lanterns making out with Batman.
Oh, God.
Like,
this idea that wants to be
written by Judd Winnick.
You just reminded me of and we were going back to a little bit of the Grant Morrison thing of in JLA when he killed off Aztec. And at the end of his JLA run, like, it was like, well, this is a character I created for JLA, and the series is canceled, and no one else is going to do anything of Aztec, so might as well end him out with a Blaze of Glory moment. And by God, did they give Aztec a Blaze of... Did he give that Aztec a Blaze of Glory moment?
Mm-hmm.
And it was... I mean, it's like... Well, no one ever... It's one of those... Well, Grant's like, yeah, no one's ever going to do anything with him. I'm not going to do anything with him. Like, this is his finale. Boom. And...
You say that now, and then next year they're going to have the resurrection.
God help me,
Aztec
they probably
story.
Are. I would not be shocked if Aztec's brought back within Action Comics at some point in the future. Like, suddenly, oh, there's Aztec. Okay.
It would just be a different Aztec.
Yeah.
Oh.
They can make it a legacy character, one that has, like, the name and the armor, not necessarily the person.
They can do it.
Speaking of bringing back characters, just to cut them off at the end of your story, War of the Supermen. Where they brought back all those Kryptonians and just to kill off everybody except for Superman again at the end. And
you
I think Zod survived.
Slaughter by that all more Superman.
Wait, which is Zod?
Slaughter.
Which is Zod? There's been like three of them.
I don't know then. He was, I think it's the original one, the one that was stuck in the Phantom Zone, because they brought him out so that he could become the general of the Kryptonian army. And then, like, Uther and Earth attacks, start a war, and pretty much every Kryptonian dies because the planet blows up. And then, like, they set some anti-gravity gun around the moon or something, so they all crashed.
Yeah.
It's really stupid. I hated that storyline so much. But yeah, I was like, they brought, like, what are you going to do with all these Kryptonians? And then Dan, I'm like, there's nothing they're going to do with yeah. Kyoto, isn't it?
You're not going to leave new Krypton around. Screw that. They're just going to freaking kill them all.
And it's like what Nick says. It's like, if Superman isn't the last son of Krypton, if he's not the OU one left that kind of defeats the purpose, I mean, he can still be Earth's champion, but he has a homeworld now. So they couldn't keep it around. But they had this whole striving society, and they're like, oh, and Supergirl survived as well because, you know, she's part of the Superman family. Everybody else died.
Yeah, they're dead.
Died.
Yeah, screw it. They're dead.
There's
slaughtered
a bunch of animals. Body. There's two people and a bunch of animals. Oh, in the bottled city of Kandor.
Yeah.
He was able to save those people, but yeah, it's so funny when they bring back people just to kill them. Oh, introduce characters to kill them off. I'm sure they've done that before.
Although, when we were talking about Green Lantern and I was re-looking through the list of dead characters, there's one that I feel I have to bring up, and that is Alexandra DeWitt, Kyle Rayner's girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
The original woman in a refrigerator.
Refrigerator.
Yeah.
I'm going to strangle you and stick you in a refrigerator.
Oh, God. Shit, that. Oh. With a very interesting image popping out in Black as Night of her being in the refrigerator still and coming after Kyle Rayner. I'm like, oh, really?
But did the refrigerator die too? What?
Yes. The refrigerator was a Black Lantern.
Yeah, the refrigerator was a Black Lantern. Totally.
That's because Geoff Johns.
That's just like, that story is like, for all the stuff that happens in Blackest Night, there are some, that series is like filled with like weird ass moment times a thousand of just, what?
I was going to say, the thing that's really, even if the refrigerator died, is the fact that they would assume that Cal buried her in the refrigerator.
Yeah, that's not,
that's not the worst thing to happen.
Don't move her. Keep her in that refrigerator.
I want to remember her like this forever.
Her family and her and their dying wishes to have her buried in that damn refrigerator. Respectful death. Respectful death.
Bury her in the refrigerator that it might fuel my green vengeance.
It would have worked.
Well, she didn't go crazy in the shortest city. I've heard that happens to some Green Lanterns, so...
They're just possessed. My God. Like, you've never been possessed by a cosmic entity that caused you to destroy everyone you loved.
I was wondering, is that DC's version of the Phoenix Force now?
Parallax, I think it basically is.
Yeah.
I wonder if they would go out on a date. That'd be an interesting crossover.
Oh, God,
crossover.
Help them. That's that crossover. If DC's listening, DC Marvel's listening... Parallax and the Phoenix meeting up. That's the next crossover, kid.
We provided you two storylines today so far. So
that's your storyline.
I just picture being a really awkward date. Like, they go out to dinner.
Heck, who have you possessed this week?
And Jean Grey would just be like, or the Phoenix Force would just be like, this host is allergic to shellfish. Because, you know, I'm sure that's a thing that happens.
And for some reason, that reminds me of Dead Man, because part of, you know, he can hop around in bodies and stuff, but he's kind of limited to what they can do. And I was just thinking of, like, he has a, he had Dominion DC Universe Presents, where he like, hops into a body of a crippled, and he can't really do anything. And he's trying to talk the cripple. I guess the cripple was going to shoot himself in the head. And he's like telling him to do it. And then like, he's, like, somebody comes to him. He's like, oh, I'm supposed to talk him out of this now, aren't I? I was just like, yeah, that's kind of helpful. But I guess Deadman. No, actually, they brought Deadman back to life.
Yeah.
And then they killed him again. I mean, there aren't many characters who are supposed to stay dead. But. I guess his death was coming back to life and then died. So that would be his resurrection? I don't know. It's all kind of backwards.
It's DC. It's not the weirdest thing to happen in the DC universe.
We should talk about that. Let's talk about how people come back.
Yes.
God.
Yes.
Oh, yes. I did not realize they actually brought back Alexander Luther and freaking Justice League America during James Robinson's run.
Mm-hmm.
Or was it? Yeah, it was because it's like, it says here, resurrected by alternate version of Tangent Green Lantern. By the way, the Tangent Universe was...
God, everything about... Jesus Christ, everything about that statement is just fucked.
Yeah. By the way, and yeah, that whole statement pretty much, that's not the weirdest thing, you know, that is still not the weirdest thing to happen in DC Comics.
My favorite is, I think it's Holly Robinson, who say death was retcon.
Death was retcon.
It didn't happen.
It didn't happen, I don't know.
I remember that, too, because I remember that when that story came out, and everyone was like, no, we don't know, she's back from the dead now. Shrug. Superboy punch. I don't care at this point.
Yeah,
the Superboy punch.
Yeah, the number of ones. Superboy Prime punched reality and everything changed.
I wouldn't mind it so much if it wasn't like half of this is this. It's like resurrected by Superboy's punch.
It is because I love, because that's one of the funniest things of Infinite Crisis is that one scene where he's just punching out storylines. Punch. And it's like, that's perfect. That's how
it's like. I mean, people always say that Superman is overly strong. He can turn back time. He might as well be able to punch reality back in his shape. So.
I
assume that's
the thing. Look at this. It's like, yes, like the one, I found one of the Superboy Prime ones. Next man. Superboy Prime punched the barrier of reality causing his return.
Or Jason Todd, who was originally brought back by Superboy's punch, but did a retcon that he was revived by the Lazarus Pit. So he was brought back in a most unusual manner, and they're like, you know, that's not crazy enough. It's kind of retcon. It's even more. And say that he was actually alive the entire time. He was just crazy.
God. Swamp Thing I like the stuff with like anything involving like Blackest Night of Resurrected by the Entity with Swamp Thing or. Or, it's like, of course, the true story of why Swamp Thing was brought back to the DC Universe was they finally managed to wrench him from Karen Berger's cold, dead hands. So.
Not to be outdone, Marvel has their share of one, and the second one on this list is reborn in his own egg.
Yeah!
I don't even
Which
know
one is that, by the way, Earl? I remember that. Yes.
Well, and I love, and of course we're getting this off of Wikipedia, so some of this stuff, like Psylocke, her resurrection, her spirit to where she had died is her reason of resurrection.
Yeah.
Well, Captain America, when Steve Rogers came back, he had his own, kind of weird Bruce Wayne revealed to have imprisoned in time, the Red Skull brought back Captain America's body with his own consciousness controlling it until Captain America forced him out of his body.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the Hood was all powerful and basically then brought back all these random villains of like when the Scourge of the Underworld stuff I mentioned earlier, it comes all full circle when the Hood brings back all these people that died during the Scourge of the Underworld storyline. Just like, you're all back from the dead now.
Yeah, it also sounds like the techno-organic virus is another popular way to bring back people in the Marvel Universe.
They had Doug Locke. That's how they brought Doug Ramsey back from this person with Warlock, and now he was Doug Locke for a period of time during Warren Ellis's X-Men run. I mean, Excalibur run. Thank you, Excalibur run.
Oh,
I wonder what did they say for Jean? Oh, do they have, her body's discovered in a cocoon-like structure beneath Jamaica Bay. The Jean that has died was a super chick created by the Phoenix. Yes. So it's conscious.
That was Roger Stern's storyline during the Phoenix Rising story arc, which is collected, by the way.
Who doesn't want to read it after that explanation?
If that's not good enough for you, it's out there. You can find it. Still in print.
Anytime anytime the reason for resurrection is it wasn't really them, just skip the storyline. Like, anything where it's like, oh, it was actually a Skrull posing as Elektra that got stabbed and now is dead.
Okay, this one does it. Korvac resurrected himself with his powers.
Korvac!
So, how did he bring himself back to life?
Have you ever read the Korvac storyline in the Avengers? It is actually a really cool little story that Jim Shooter did. And it's actually a pretty fun little story, but Korvac was insane. Like, he was insane powerful. It was like that level of, oh shit, this dude's psychotically powerful. We gotta figure out a way to subdue him somehow. Cause he could destroy the day. It's sort of like how the Fury is in Captain Britain that came out of Alan Moore's storyline. It's the Fury psychotically powerful too. God, we gotta figure out a way to deal with the Fury.
And see, I do appreciate that on the DC list, they include Morpheus of the Endless and his death.
Okay, I'm trying to wrap my head around these Marvels. Revive energy beings by MODOK and storyteller protocols in the form of an infant. Their powers are used to fuse Ms. Marvel back into a single...
Oh, yes! Yeah.
So she was reborn as a bunch of babies, and then they kind of... jumbled the babies together to make a human size.
That's how babies work.
it's comics. That's Marvel's. That's comics. That's just a pure. Only in comics can you have that weird crap. Well, it can happen in sci-fi too, but generally comics is the stuff that's a real weird crap happens.
We're picking on comics because we do enjoy them, but it happens in a lot of fields. I mean, so far, guilty of having the most insane explanation as to why a character dies and comes back. I mean, usually they can't just resurrect them, so they had, like, you know, amnesia, or they were re-killed, or they were switched in the hospital, or something stupid like that. Sci-fi does the same thing. But comic books are just, you know, because everybody has, like, outer-worldly powers, they find the most insane ways to bring them back. Because you have to explain why they couldn't be brought back sooner. Mm-hmm.
Or they're brought back as another actor entirely, but...
Like, I haven't read Gail Simone's Batgirl yet, so I don't even know how she got her ability to walk back, but... I remember, like, part of it was always, like, she could always get the ability to walk back, but she never wanted to cheat the system because, you know, like, she doesn't want, just because she has ties to it. So I'm like, how did she come back then? I don't know if anybody knows that.
As far as I know, it's just she did. But yeah. I haven't, like, as much as I love Gail Simone and as much as I was pumped about her writing Barbara's Batgirl again, DC lost me with the New 52. I couldn't do it.
I'll give you, I ran screaming from Batgirl very, very quickly.
I stopped, I think, the first one, because I've enjoyed most of her work, but it was just like, it's like, oh, I'm happy to be a superhero again. Look at me, I'm chipping and happy, and oh no, I'm also scared because I haven't walked in years.
My problem was, like, Gail Simone set up so many awesome potential things when she was writing Wonder Woman.
Okay.
And then as soon as she was off the book, they did that reboot where I think I referred to it earlier as The Trials of Teenage Wonder Woman with pants.
Yeah.
Oh,
the Odyssey.
And they had, like, these great... Because there was the whole thing in the two-parter with her and Black Canary fighting in Japan. And Pele... whose father, Wonder Woman, had accidentally gotten involved in her feud with the gods and had been killed, Pele shows up at the goddess, and she's pissed off at Wonder Woman, and Wonder Woman realizes she can't beat her. So she basically, like, kneels down and says, I owed your father for what he did for me. That passes to you. I am yours to command. Mm-hmm. And then it never came back up. And I'm like, holy shit. You have this whole setup where, like, the goddess of anger can use Wonder Woman at her disposal at any point. And you throw it out so you can put her in pants.
Yup.
Yeah, Jake Michael Krasinski.
They really wanted those pants. And then, of course, because it's him, he can't finish the storyline anyhow. So.
For goodness sake, Chris Roberson had to pretty much salvage Grounded and try. God, love that man. He tried.
Oh, was that the Superman Walks Across the Country story?
Yeah.
And when he renounces American citizenship,
that
which
was
made
such
news
a beautiful,
again.
Beautiful news headline for the Superman renounces American citizenship.
He was on War Rocket Ajax a few months ago. I don't remember what exactly it was, but he was talking about that, and he says that like every issue of Grounded, once he came on, had like a story by J. Michael Straczynski and Chris Roberson. He said JMS's outlines were like super loose. It was like a one line, like Superman goes to Utah, or Superman stops some drug dealers. Like they were like literally like, and he didn't have an ending. Like Roberson pretty much had to come up with everything.
That's
Superman,
do you like?
Which is why Grounded gets like there's a huge jump in quality once JMS is not actually writing it anymore.
Yeah. Kind of fun. It's some of the insanity that comes out of that is pretty cool because, for goodness sake, the Lex Luthor stole the cakes becomes part of continuity.
Yeah.
Well, how many cakes was it? Stole 40 cakes. That's as many
Thank
as four
you.
Tens, and that's awful.
Yes, and it became part of continuity before the New 52.
it's you know, I would have read like Superman Eats at IHOP.
Yeah.
I think the idea could have been novel, but it was so... Like, what are the chances like every city you go to there's something huge, supernatural? Like, what was he doing the rest of the time? Has he just been avoiding these cities for the rest of his run?
The true story about finding out about Grounded was when he was hitting Cincinnati, and what was funny, around here, it was like a big event. It was like... Superman's hitting Cincinnati, and it was like, oh my god, Superman, and it was like, oh my god, it was the craziest thing around here. The issues were selling out like gangbusters at my local store. It was nuts. Cincinnati was only in four panels.
You know, that would actually be an awesome if they had did this, like, when the movie was coming out, if you had Henry Cavill walking around the United States as Superman stopping in these towns. Buy my comic.
Stay out of Pittsburgh, that's bat territory.
Yeah.
Yeah, God.
I don't...
Four panels, kids. Four panels, and the comic was sold. It was actually selling out around here, so...
Well, you know, that's better than what Philly got, because I think the one where he was in Philly, all they did was stop some drug dealers that were playing basketball or something. It was, like, really generic. It was, like, nothing about Philly whatsoever. It was just like, oh, yeah, I'm in Philadelphia. Can't you see? There's people. They do drugs.
You got probably the weirder treatment than Cincinnati did, because Cincinnati just showed a few landmarks and, yeah.
Probably pitches.
It was.
I don't know what
no, it was that bad, because there was...
Well, what landmarks can you show in Philly, other than, you know, poor sportsmanship and sports teams that lose?
Don't you guys have a bell? Liberty?
Yeah, but how do you show that in... Like a logical way that makes sense, because it's in a building.
Superman obviously runs through the building, grabs the Liberty Bell, and hits a villain with it.
Exactly.
And then he fixes the crack in it.
Or you could have Superman come in there and stand in front of the bell, and then hack a single tear right
How
down
did
his
that
eyes.
Happen that Superman did not hit someone with the Liberty Bell and cause a in it. How did that not happen?
He fixes it, and then he hits it and breaks again.
It's an evil comic.
Speaking of, and this, you know...
This is edging on, like, the ridiculousness of the...
I was going to say, if I hadn't... No, they should have, like... I want to see a bill for an end of a comic issue of all the property damage they do. Because I know
damage
somebody
control?
Did something like that for their event.
Yeah.
Jay McDuffie did damage control, and that was pretty much explaining who in the world had to deal with all the freaking property damage and explain off all that shit. I mean, that was actually one of the more neat concepts of damage control. We have to clean up all this crap. And explaining all the property damage.
Well...
Who pays for it? It's the government.
Well, that's why we need to register all of our superheroes. And
Civil War.
Mutants should register too, even though they might have issues with that. I'm Tony Stark. That was my Tony Stark impression.
It was a good impression. Solid
Thanks.
And rich.
Very solid.
I was
channeling
Robert Downey Jr.
A little bit. You need like 5% more juice back.
You know, that's just a level of juice back I can't quite hit.
I also keep looking further into the comic book death. I keep looking further, and I buy stuff. I'm going, oh my god! Let's see here. Like Corsair, Scott Summers' dad. How'd he die? Got killed by his kid Vulcan.
Scott Summers, yeah. Space pirate dad.
Hasn't most of Scott's family died at some point?
Well, the problem is that the Summers family, there was at one point in the Summers family tree that somehow connected Storm to the Summers. And it's like, oh, by the way, Storm is a Summers?
Is she really now?
I don't know.
No.
I think that was probably retconned. But yeah, it's everyone is a Summers. So it's got to be really hard to be a Summers and not fuck a sibling.
Well, he has a
Well, Cyclops, if that was true, then at one point or another, Cyclops did make out with his sister because there was that Astonishing X-Men issue that had Cyclops making out with Storm. So, but it was an alternate universe Storm, so that's okay. So
that's okay if it's an alternate universe.
So that's okay.
See, I made that
universe.
I made that Buffy joke, but now I'm just thinking about that Game of Thrones infogram where they had Tony Stark. I remember the Stark
cast. I mean, for God's sake, some of the random deaths that happened when Red Hulk was around, they just had Red Hulk just beating the shit out of everything. I mean, it's like the Grandmaster, like one of the one of the god characters of the Marvel Universe, beaten to death by Red Hulk. It's like, yep, there you go. Red Hulk beat the shit out of everything at one point.
Has the Hulk died?
In the alternate reality of the end.
Didn't Ultimate Avenger Hulk at one point kill and eat an alien?
Yeah. Nom. The ultimate nom nom moment of
Which fuck Mark Miller. Now we can go on.
I've been saying that for years now. That guy really has fetish with weirdness.
Old Man Logan?
Oh, my, Old Man Logan.
Old Man Logan?
It's a wonder why people think comics aren't for kids. This sounds great stuff for kids to be reading.
Man, Fifth Pal, comics aren't for kids anymore.
There's great stuff for kids.
Bishop grabbed him and held him half inside and half outside of a portal until it closed, cutting him in half. Trevor Fitzroy.
Nice. Oh my god! If anyone ever wondered whatever happened to the character Maggot, Maggot was executed in Weapon X number 5 in a gas chamber at the Neverland concentration camp.
if you ever wondered
what happened. Maggot. He executed.
I just mean the metaphor. There's not even a metaphor in that. That's just blatantly like, eh? Eh? You know, like that thing, eh? We're not going to say their names because if you say their names, then you're Godwin, but you know, eh?
I shouldn't be laughing this hard, but.
It's really hard not to have that comic. I mean, I guess they are the funny books that could exist. The overall picture is just, it's insane, the stuff they get away with, or the stuff they think they get away with.
Killed by the Church of Humanity, I remember that one. Oh, God.
Oh, wow, Young Frankenstein.
Yeah.
His body was powered by lightning, and the individual pieces began moving on their own, allowing him to pull himself back together.
Still not the weirdest thing to happen in the DC universe.
I was going to say, have we mentioned Norman Osborn?
Oh,
I mean, he's the other poster up and dying and coming back.
Yeah. He was doing that whole Avengers. God. People are going to listen to this and just going to keep going,
are these people are like, they're just getting really amused and also going, oh my god.
I get this right. I mean, people who die in comics and statues, they come back in great numbers. I would assume Zack Snyder is probably the biggest number of people coming back at once.
Come back.
Because they resurrected, what, 8 people in a scene?
Yeah.
And then they had...
And then it all didn't matter because then the New 52 arrived and pretty much... Blackest Night still happened.
I said it when this New 52 started. I'll continue to say it. It's like the more DC talks about what did and didn't happen, the more it becomes a pain in the ass. Just, you know, if it's important to a story, Red Hood mentioned that he was a Robin and he died. It's been 5 years. That's a lot of stuff that's happened. we had 4 Robins. I died. I came back. I'm evil now. Yeah, pretty short contract.
See, I just really can't wait until we find out the New 52 was like a dream in the Flash's head after Flashpoint.
They've already got their out with Pandora, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, now it doesn't seem like an out because she's just somebody being punished.
Pandora is still, I still swear, all you need to do is just tweak around Pandora and all those gods they introduced in that free comic book day thing, and bam, that's her out.
I'm sure if they wanted, but I think it would be odd to have an outfit. It's because like, going back to the old continuity doesn't really do anything for you. Other than like people who kind of are obsessed with
like,
what
was. If they go back to the old continuity, God help me, that will, you know, I know they're going to eventually try to figure out a way to, like, they're saying they're not going to do it. It's going to eventually happen. I know it will. They'll try to figure out.
I don't think they go back to old continuity. Honestly, if they had to, it would probably be some type of weird combination between the old
and it would be a cluster. Oh my
God. You know what's going to happen?
Are you a dickhead?
It's going to be a new continuity where Hal Jordan is Superman.
Why not? I'm cool.
And the Green Lantern, and the Flash, and probably Wonder Woman.
And also Batman.
And also Batman.
Why not?
Well, Jeff Johns, I assume his stock in the company is probably still not that high after Green Lantern.
Remembered something. You know, the comic where a lot of people died at random? New X-Men at one point. Christopher, when Yost was writing, people kept dying in New X-Men every few issues. Yeah, they kept dying. Like, random students just got blown up, killed.
Oh, was that around the time when the buses all exploded because they were sending the powered mutants home?
Yeah.
And Emma's like, this can't be a bad idea, and everybody blows up.
Yeah. Yost was just killing people left and right. It was like, it was Yost and who was his co-writer at the time? It was Yost
I don't
and...
remember.
I'm trying to remember, but it was like Yost and Kyle and Yost were creating it. Were the creative team right up here, and they just kept killing people left and right.
Yeah, because they killed all those students. They killed Wallflower, like, randomly to piss off Elixir. They killed Icarus.
Yep.
And then, eventually, in Necrotia, Wither ended up dead, too.
Yeah, they just kept killing people. It became, I remember that running gag at one point of, who are Yost and Kyle going to kill off this issue? Because that's what became the death of the month.
Well, I think we're at about the point.
Don't.
Oh, sorry.
Oh no, I was just going to say I was reading. I don't know if you watched the DC Nation that they're bringing back Vibe.
What?
That's
and
right.
I'm like, oh, Vibe.
That's
Vibe. He's like the. Yay, Vibe's coming back.
Vibe's coming back, and he's going to be in the new, and he's going to be, if he saw that giant spread, and for the New 52 free comic book day, Vibe's going to be in the big Trinity War storyline, so.
What the hell is Trinity War?
The 2013 storyline.
2012 is not even half done yet.
Yeah, I find it weird they announced their big storyline a year in advance, but he kind of did the same thing with Flashpoint.
Yeah.
where he, like, when he, they did the, at the end of, what was it, whatever the big Green Lantern story was, and Jazz was resurrected, he's like, and this leads up to Flashpoint, and then the,
oh,
the
yeah.
hero stories leading up
yeah.
to that.
Comics!
So, yeah.
Comics!
Comics.
Wrestling! Wait, what?
Yes.
I don't know, did my video I put up on Twitter and eventually took down ever work last night?
I don't know, I missed it.
I did, we were jumping through fire in my friend's backyard. Like, we built a fire and we're just jumping through it. Like you do. And when I did mine, I actually did the Daniel Bryan yes.
Nice.
You know, sometimes I wonder what would happen if, like, if wrestling was written the same way that comics are. Like, if Jeff Johns was hired by the WWE. No. Like, if Jeff Johns were suddenly like, why don't we just bring back Andre the Giant? Nobody would see that.
Oh, and he did bring back R-Truth after he was thrown out.
Oh, that's true. He blew up. And Vince McMahon came back
and
from the dead.
And they brought back Miss... Yeah. Well, Mr. McMahon was kind of like, he's like, oh yeah, I'm sorry I died, I didn't mean it. It was kind of in bad taste, not that Chris Benoit died. And then, oh, Chris Benoit murdered his family. Damn it, we ruined a good storyline.
Dude, wrestling would be so entertaining. That would be the most can't-miss 3 hours of wrestling ever.
It wasn't the real...
Oh, Wolf, I can't miss...
It wasn't really that Macho Man that died, it was a clone of the Macho Man.
Yeah, and now there's the rant.
You know,
now we're
going to
have the Macho Man.
Let's pay our respects to the Macho Man. Today has been a year since he died.
It has been.
Yeah.
It has been. So we should probably just end this show with the Macho Man be a man.
Yeah, I'll do it. Do it. You won't.
I to say, this would be like the third podcast that ends with that
song.
It's not. It's a good song.
Well,
no.
There are words to describe it.
It's
I don't
not
think
word.
Would be one of them.
Entertaining is certainly
it's
a word.
It's a song. Oh. It's sung by Joe. Well, it's a rap.
Well, speaking of ending things, I think it is probably near time for us to wrap up because we take forever to wrap up. So welcome to the last half hour of the show, most likely. But I wanted to ask you guys if there... is anyone who has died that you would like to see come back? If there's any death you would like to see undone?
I don't even know who's dead right now.
Jack Kirby?
Well.
He has been introduced as a character in comics.
He is a character in comics already.
Yeah.
Because DC rebooted their universe, there really shouldn't be anybody dead for them. And I don't know who's dead in Marvel. I mean, Jean's
Nightcrawler,
dead,
Jean.
DC rebooted their universe, but there's a lot of people unspoken for. Like, I don't know that the New Gods have showed back up yet.
They haven't shown back up yet.
I was going to say they haven't introduced that, but they did introduce Darkseid.
And see, this is just my excuse to say I want Big Barda back.
I didn't know she was dead.
She has been sort of inactive since Final Crisis because all the new gods got killed off. And then the only one that I think actually came back into action was Knockout, who was resurrected in Secret Six.
Yes.
Oh, and Darkseid now. Because he's in the Justice League stuff.
Oh, good.
Yeah, which is kind of odd, because he just kind of shows up for an issue and
bullshit.
Then vanishes.
Fuck that. Fuck comics.
Oh, God.
I see you're happy with comics, as you all are. And, yeah, I'm trying to think of who else is dead in the Marvelverse that I care about.
Technically a Marvel character, so I was not being facetious.
Okay
then.
I said mine already, Nightcrawler, so.
Yes. Yes, and I agree with that one as well.
And Is Magneto? No, is Professor X dead?
He's supposed to be coming back in Avengers vs. X-Men from what
fuck.
Because he's not dead, though. He's not dead. He popped up in Wolverine the X-Men recently.
He was just resting.
So he's just kind of...
He was pining for the fjords.
He was probably in a lot of water.
You know, if I didn't
add
him in the cage, it would have been boom!
He's hanging out in the hospital with Myra Machaca.
He's no longer exists. He's ceased to be. He's an X-Man.
Oh, God.
If you hadn't nailed him to his wheelchair, he'd be pushing up daisies.
Oh, my.
This is gonna be like 30 minutes of just giggling on this episode.
For myself, Earl, Wesley, Nicholas, this has been Nerds on the Rocks, episode 96.
Yeah.
Yeah.